Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the second line from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara, on the side you can see we have written the Nosei, the topic heading, Haktonas Peros Gedolim, large fruits that became reduced in size. The Gemara opens with an incident, with a story. Rabbi Chelbo, Rabbi Avira, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Iklu Lahu Asra, they arrived at a certain place, they went to a certain place, Aisu Kamayhu Afarsika, they were presented with an afarsika, was a type of fruit, Dava Ki Ilfis Kfar Hino, that was the size of an Ilfis Kfar Hino. Kfar Hino is the name of a place, and Ilfis is a pan or a pot. The Ilfis Kfarhino Kamahave, how big is an Ilfis Kfarhino? Chamisha Sa'in, 5 Sa'ah. Now, 5 Sa'ah, that's a measure. You can rest assured that that's a very large measure for one fruit. Ochlu Shlish, they ate a third of it. Vifkiru Shlish, and declared unowned a third. Vinosnu Lifnei Behemton Shlish, and they fed their animals a third. Lishana, a year later, Ikla Rebbe Lozer Lahasam Vayaisu Lekamei. He arrived there and they presented him with an afarsik. Noktoi Biodei. He held it in one hand. Viomar. And the idea of holding it in one hand indicates it's much smaller than the 5 saw of the previous year. And Rebbe Lozer said, Eretz Pri Limlecha Meiras Yoshvei Ba. The land of great fruits has turned to salt because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. What's interesting here is that in one year, such a significant decrease in size, that's something worth noting, and he attributes it to sinning. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ikla Legavla. Rabbi Shua ben Levi arrived in a place called Gavla. Chazinu lano tufi dehavu kaimiki igli. He noticed some grape clusters that appeared as calves. Omar, agolim bein hagfanim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked, "What do you have? You have calves that are wandering amongst the vines?" Omru le, they told him, "Ktufi ninu. There are no." There are no calves there. Those are grape clusters. Omar, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, upon hearing that, this description of fantastically large grape clusters, he says, Eretz Eretz, Achnisi Perosayach. He appeals to the land and he says, withdraw your fruits. Lemiata Motsia Perosayach. For whom are you producing these fruits? La Aravayim Halalu Shamdu Alenu Bechatosenu. For these Arabs that have taken over the land because of our sins. Lishana, a year later, Ikla Rabbi Chia Lahasam. Chazinu Dav Kaimi Karizi. Rabbi Chia noticed clusters appearing as goats. Omar Izim Bein Hakfanim, he asked, you have goats wandering amongst your vines? Amrule, he said, Zeal, go, lo tavid lon ki chavroch. We don't want you to do like your colleague did the year before. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue with the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and it reads, Cheshbon, a calculation, laharois sheretz Yisrael bizman brocha, the land of Israel, at the time of blessing, the time of plenty, se'a oise chameshes ribo kurin. The saw is a measure. It represents a measure. Sometimes it's a measure reference, as it will be in this case, a measure of land, a base saw. Base saw is an area of land in which you can plant a saw of seeds. So if you plant a saw of seeds in the area, Eretz Yisrael in the time of bracha would produce 50,000 kor. If you bear in mind that one kor is 30 saw, so you have 50,000 kor, and you would multiply that by 30, you would get a very large increase of how much seed you put in initially to what it actually produces. We also have a long point marking, so take note of that as well. Tonu Rabbanan, Bevichisel Shel Eretz Yisrael, in the time of blessing of the land of Israel, Beisa Oisa Chameshes Ribo Kurim. A Beisa of land would produce 50,000 kur. Chameshes is 5 Ribo. Ribo is 10,000. So 5 times 10,000, 50,000 kur. Be Yeshivosa Shel Tzoyan. Tzoyan is a place in Mitzrayim, and it's considered a very lush place in Mitzrayim. So in the time of Tzoan's habitation, Beis Sa'ah Oysa Shivim Kurim. One Beis Sa'ah would produce 70 kur. To give, again, this is to give you a feeling of let's say, a perspective, the normal production of a very lush area, for one Sa'ah, you get 70 kur. The Sanya, Omar Rabbi Meir, Ani Ra'isi, Bebikas Beis Shan. I saw in the valley of Beis Shan, and Beis Shan in this Gemara is a reference to some place outside of Israel. Beis Sa'ah Oisa Shivim Kurim, that a Beis Sa'ah would produce 70 kur. So, Tzoan Mitzrayim, which was a lush area, could be assumed to produce no less than 70 kur. Ve'en l'cham ulu b'char, says Yosem Eretz Yisrayim, there isn't a more plentiful, lush area than the land of Egypt. Shenema Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. The land of Egypt is considered like the Gan Hashem, the garden of the Almighty. V'ein l'cha me'ula b'chol ha'aretz Mitzrayim yosem mitzoan. And in monks and within Egypt, there isn't a greater place, more productive place than Tzoan. Davu marbu bo melochim. That was a place that kings were raised. Dechtiv ki hoyu b'tzoan sorav. The ministers were in Tzoan. And there isn't a poorer, a rockier, arable area in Israel more than Hebron. Dahavu Kavri Bo Shichvi, it was known as a place of burying the dead. Ve'afilu hochi Hebron mevuna al achas mishiva b'tzoyan. Hebron is 5 times more productive than Tzoan. And we have a cheshbon here, a calculation that lasts a few lines, and note we have a long marking to indicate that. Dichtiv. Pasuk says, V'chevron sheva shanim nivnesa lifnei Tzoan Mitzrayim. Here we translate it literally, that the city of Hebron was built 7 years before Tzoan of Mitzrayim. Now, my nivnesa, what does that word mean, which we translated literally? Ilemo nivnasa mamish, if it means, as we translated that literally, built up. Efshar odom boina bayis livnoi kotten kaidim shivne livno gadol. Is this normal that a person would build a house for his younger son before building for his older son? Shinemar. We mentioned sons. We have names here. We have Kinaan and we have Mitzrayim. Hebron was in Eretz Kinaan. So we have to think about where do Canaan and Mitzrayim come from. So the Pasuk says, Uvnei Cham, Cham was the son of Noach. Uvnei Cham, Kush, Mitzrayim, Ufut, Canaan. So we've dashed underlined the key words, and you see the order. The sons of Cham, the second one was Mitzrayim, the fourth was Canaan. So Canaan, in which Hebron was located, was younger. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says, V'chevron sheva shonim nivnasa lifnei Tzoan Mitzrayim, ela shemivune al achas mishiva b'tzoyan. It's 7 times greater. So now, let's make the calculation. If Tzor and Mitzrayim produced 70 kor, so Hebron, which was the poorest place in Eretz Yisrael, would produce seven times that. That gives you 490 kor. Vahani mili betroshim. That's true with regard to a rocky area. Aval shlo betroshim chamesh mea. In a non-rocky area, so once again, in a rocky area, it produced 490 kor. In an arable area, it produced more. Let's say 500 kor. Vahani mili shlo bevechosel. And that's when it wasn't at a time of brocha. Aval bevechosel at the time of plenty of brocha. Ksiv. The pasuk says, "Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, vayimtza b'shon ahi mea sharim." The pasuk describes Yitzchak Avinu planted and found 100 mea sharim, 100 measures. So the basic measure was 500. Now, and it's capable of producing 100 times that, 100 times 500. That gets you to the number we were looking for, 50,000 kor. Tanya, Rav Yossi, Omar Rav Yossi, saw Yehuda ha'isa oisa chamesh sa'in. A saw of Yehuda. Now, my understanding here is that a saw, once it has a measure here, it's not a land measure, but it's a volume measure. A volume measure of grains, of harvested grains, saw of harvested wheat. When you grind the wheat, when you process it, you'll come out with the following: five saw of product, saw kemach, a saw solas. Kemach is a fine flour. Solas is a thicker, grainier flour. Saw subin, saw mursin, and saw kiburia. These are different, but we say byproducts like shells and peels of the. That's the subin and mursan, and the kiburia is a type of flour that's not of high quality, and it's used for making something called pas kevar. The Gemara continues with a maisa that takes a number of lines. We have a long marking for that. Amalei Ahu Tzeduki, the Rabbi Chanina. Tzeduki is a reference to a person of course a non. Believer in the oral tradition. Sometimes it's a reference to idol worshippers, Gentiles, maybe early Christians, but it's referred to in the Gemara by using the term tzeduki. So tzeduki says from Chanina, Yoe mishabchisu bo ba'arachon. It's fitting that you praise your land. I was left by my father an area of a beisaw. Mimena meshach, mimena chamor, mimena ibor. From it I get oil. Meshach is oil, chamor is wine, ibor grains. Mimena kitnios, I harvest legumes. Mimena roos miknosian. From that same beisaw, my cattle is able to graze. Amalei. Hahu bar Amora Labar Ara d'Israel. There was a member of the Amorite people that said to a man of Eretz Israel, Hai Tulsa de Kaima Aguda de Yardana, Kama Gadrisumina. Tulsa is a reference here to a specific palm tree. That palm tree that stands on the banks of the Jordan. How much do you harvest, quantity-wise? How many dates do you harvest from it? Amalei shisin kuri. I harvest 60 kur. Amalei akati lo ailisu ba achavisua. You have hardly entered the land and you've already ruined it. Anan meo viestrum kuri have a gazrino mino. We used to harvest 120 kur from it. Amalei, so the Ben Eretz Yisrael says back, ano nami mechad giso kamina. I was speaking only about from one side of the tree, and I mentioned the 60 sa'a. That is the 60 that the 60 figure that I gave you. 60 kor was only from half of it. Amar Achizda, my dichtiv. We should point out, by the way, that we have a long marking. on this section of Gemara that we call Eretz Yisrael is considered like a Tzvi. And the Nosei, the topic heading, is Lom Eretz Yisrael Nimshal El Tzvi. Why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a deer? Omar Rav Chisda, May Dichtiv, V'etein Loch Eretz Chemda Nachlas Tzvi. I'll give you a desirous land. That's the inheritance of the deer. Lom Nimshal Eretz Yisrael El Tzvi. Why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a deer? And you see, we have a couple of approaches. Number one, Lomar Loch, Matzvi Ze Ein Oro Machzik Besaro. Just like the deer, when you slaughter a deer and then skin it, the skin contracts, becomes quite small, and you by looking at the skin, you'd say this couldn't possibly contain the animal. So just like the skin doesn't contain the animal, Af Eretz Yisrael Eino Machzik Es Peroseha. The land of Israel, because of the abundant amount of produce, it can't hold all of it. There isn't enough room to store it all. Dover acher, matzvi ze kal mikol achayis. Just like the tzvi is considered the swiftest of all animals, afer tzisro kalo mikol arsus levashil es peroseha. The land of Israel is very swift in ripening its fruits. Imat svi ze kal v'ein besoro shomein afer tzisro kalu levashil v'ein peroseha shmeinim. If we're comparing it to the deer, are you going to say just like the deer is swift, but its meat is not fatty, it's not rich, so too the fruits of Eretz Yisrael may ripen quickly, but they're not rich. Talmud Lomar, Zovas Cholov Udvash. Shmeinim Micholov, it's richer than milk, Umesukim Udvash, and sweeter than honey. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a new marking. You see a bow tie shape, and on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the bow tie appears, and it highlights the expression Solik L'Eretz Yisrael. These are Maisim, they're stories in Amoroyim, Rav Elazar, Rav Bizera, Bizman Aliyos L'Eretz Yisrael, when they came to Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting to note, we had a number of very profound, dramatic comments made by Rav Elazar in our previous Shir on the Kuf Yud Aleph, concerning who merits coming back to life and the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. In his comments, it's interesting to note that he did not originate in Eretz Yisrael. He came from, most likely from Babylonia, came from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And many times that is actually the case of people who have a great deal of adoration and attachment to the land of Israel are those very people that came from outside the land of Israel. And here's a case in point. Rebbe Elazar Kihava Solik La'aretz L'Eretz Yisrael Omar, when Rebbe Elazar came to Israel, he said Palti Li Mechado. There are three stages we're going to see in his comment that he was spared from something. So when I came to Israel, I was spared from one thing. If we take a look in Rashi, Palti Li Mechado, a little bit lower down in the Rashi from here, Nitzalti, I was saved, Me Achas Mehen, Min HaKlolos HaMuros BaMikro, from the curses that we find in the Pasuk. And we'll see that very shortly as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, Beis, Ki Samchuhu, when he received Smicha. Smicha is a tradition that's handed down from rabbi to student that entitles them to issue halachic rulings in certain areas that without the smich, without this, we'll call this rabbinic license, he wouldn't be able to rule. So he received smicha. When that happened, Omar Palti Li Mitarti, I've now been spared of two curses. Ki Osvuhu Besoto Ibor, when he participated in the calculations for establishing new months, intercalations, calculations dealing with the calendar, Palti Li Miklas. I was then spared of three curses. Shenemar Vahoyiso Yodi El Hanavim Achozim Shav. The Almighty declares that He will punish the false prophets. Besod Ami Lo Yu, when what will be their curse? So it says Besod Ami Lo Yu, they won't be in the secret of the nation. What's that a reference to? Zeh Sod HaIbor. Ubiksav Beis Yisrael Lo Yikosevu. The Sod HaIbor we mentioned, that was the intercalation. And Ubiksav Beis Yisrael Lo Yikosevu, they will not be written amongst the writ of Israel. Zeh Smicha. The Aladmas Yisrael Lo Yavo, and they won't come to the land of Israel. That's kimashmo, that's taken as it at face value. So that you notice that Rebbe Lozer, he did come to Eretz Yisrael, he did receive smicha, and he was a member of the Sod HaIbor, who was spared of these three curses. Rebbe Zeira, Kiavasol, Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe Zeira, when he arose to Eretz Yisrael, he too, we saw just recently how he was avoiding Rav Yehuda because of his, Rav Zera's interest in coming to Eretz Yisrael, where Rav Yehuda had opposed. So he, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, lo ashkech mavro lemavar, he didn't find a ferry or a normal bridge to with which to cross the river, the Jordan River. Nokat b'matzvikovar. So what he did is he grabbed hold of a rope that was strung overhead and a plank that was laid across the river. It's kind of a precarious method of crossing, but he did anyway. He grabbed hold of the rope and walked on this narrow plank across the river. Omar lehu le hahu tzeduki. Here again we run into a tzeduki, a scoffer. He says to Rabbi Zeira, Amo Paziza, you hasty nation, the Kadmisu Pumaichul Naichu, that when the Torah was given, you were very hasty. You said, Naaseh, that was their mouth. They said, Naaseh, we'll first do Vinishma, and then after that, we'll hear what are the instructions. That's not the, we'll say, the normal, properly paced method of decision making. First you listen, and then you accept. But the Jewish people were hasty, says the Tzeduki. It was a great secret that the Jewish people revealed, that we'll first do, and then we'll listen. Then we'll, after committing ourselves to do, then we'll hear what the instructions are. Akati bepesizuzaichu kaimisu. The Tzeduki says to Rabbi Zera, I see that you're still a hasty nation. What's the hastiness? You are coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rashi says, second line from the bottom, Lemayer lasses dover below ito, to rapidly do something hastily or prematurely before its time. Very interesting to note that Rabbi Zeira, who acknowledges the concept of the, we saw the Shalosh Shavuos, the three oaths that we learned about in our previous, in the Daf Kuf Yud, we learned about the three oaths. And I should say, it's spilt to Kuf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, that the Jewish people are, according to this Agadic section of Gemara, are restrained from coming en masse, in mass and in force to the land of Israel. However, that and Rabbi Zeira acknowledged that. On the other hand, Rabbi Zeira himself was the prime example of someone who was so forceful or motivated to come to Israel, and upon his arrival, you see this scoffer telling him, you're coming before the time. What is he possibly referring to when he says before the time? It's probably, as many people think, before the coming of the Moshiach. What are you doing coming to Israel before the Moshiach? And who's the speaker over here? Just note, it's a tzeduki. It's a scoffer, a non-believer. And his perception, as his perception of the time to come to Israel, when the Moshiach comes, that's when a Jew comes to Israel. And again, we say a Jew on an individual basis. We're not talking about violation of the Shalosh Shavuos. Talking about a Jew on an individual basis. So Rabbi Zeira did come before the Moshiach. What was his response to the tzeduki? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zeira says, Duchta de Meshiv Aaron lo zochula. If it's a matter of waiting for merit, yes, the time of Moshiach, the time of the ingathering of the exiles, but that might depend on having the merit to come. If I'm going to depend on merit, look at what that leads to. Moshe and Aaron, they, the most meritorious Jews that probably ever lived, they didn't merit coming to the land of Israel. If I'm going to wait for the time, which from the context of this Gemara would seem to indicate that when the time comes, it's going to be based on a merit standard. I'm not sure I'm going to have the merit. I see that people much greater than me, when relying on merit, didn't make it. So I'm coming now, which you, the tzeduki, which you, the scoffer, the apikuras koifer, call before the time. How often we hear people that refer to the coming to the land of Israel? When the Moshiach comes. One should pause to think that type of attitude, or that type of approach of I'll wait for the time. Who originated that approach? Who's an author of that idea? From this Gemara, at least, it seems that it's a tzeduki. It's a non-believer. We continue in the Gemara with expressions of love that the Amoroyim showed toward Eretz Yisrael. I want to make mention of Shitas Rav Yehuda that we saw, who said, Bovel Yuvol V'shama Yoyu Ad Yom Pokti. One might have got the impression that Rav Yehuda had, some kind of preeminence placed on Bovel above Eretz Yisrael. Well, heaven forbid that's not the case. Rather, Rav Yehuda himself was governed by his understanding of a pasuk, which was a divine instruction that you shall remain in Bovel. The Gemara in Brachos, in discussing the bracha that one makes on fragrant oil, introduces Shitas Rav Yehuda, who mentions that the text of the bracha is has to do with Shemen Artzenu, makes reference to the oil of the land of Israel, and the Gemara dismisses Rav Yehuda's text by saying that, well, Rav Yehuda is different. He has such a love of the land of Israel that even in formulating a bracha over oil, he can't restrain himself from mentioning the land of Israel. The land of Israel, in Rav Yehuda's mind, was of primary importance. It was of utmost significance and chashivas. So one shouldn't misunderstand that particular shita that we saw before, that of Rav Yehuda, either. And here we're learning, by the way, we're learning the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli was essentially written outside the land of Israel, and look at the adoration, the love of the land of Israel that you see conveyed in these lines of Gemara. Rabbi Abba Menashek Kifi De'ako. Rabbi Abba, in coming to the land of Israel, he kissed the rocks of Akko. Akko was a port city, and he kissed the rocks there. There's another pshat that he kissed the corals that were found there. Rabbi Chanina Mesakein Maskele. Rashi at the bottom, Mesakein Maskele, Mashvel Mesakein Mishulayir. On the roads, if there was some kind of potholes or protrusions that interfered with easy traffic, with easy access, he would repair those things. Machmas chibas aretz. Can you just imagine a godol hador, Rabbi Chanina, involved with street work, with paving streets,
with working with a jackhammer, trying to remove boulders and rocks that protruded. But why did he do that? Because machmas chibos haaretz, because of his love for the land, shoyso chaviva love. It was so beloved to him. He was seeking out that no one should speak ill of even the roads of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, two great gedolei Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, Kaimi Mishimsha Latula Mitula Lishimsha. They stood up from the sun to go into the shade, and from the shade to go into the sun. And let's take a look at Rashi. Kaimi Mishimsha Latula, Rashi at the top. Kishashemesh Yigia Lamokum Shein Yoshvin Vigorsin. When the sun would reach, they would start, let's say they would start learning early, at the early hours of the morning. The sun wasn't yet overhead, and when as the day progressed, the sun would rise overhead and reach the place they were sitting. V'chamo mekaderesalem, and the sun would be beating down on them, creating heat. Oimdin mishom leishev v'tzeil, they would get up and sit in the shade. Uvimei atzina, and in the cold season, oimdin minatzeil v'yosh mechama, they would make sure to get up from the shade and sit in the sun. Kidei shelo yuchlu Yisrael al yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, so as not to come to a situation, to come to a position where someone would complain concerning the habitation, the dwelling in the land of Israel. It's if you were to translate this into modern terms regarding the land of Israel, it would probably be a mitzvah for a person to set up a proper air conditioning system where he lives. The air conditioner, just as an example, producing coolness in the summer and heat in the winter, so that a person should dwell comfortably. And the main thing to note here is what we've dashed underlined in the Rashi, is that all of this is in order to avoid any words of complaint concerning inhabitants dwelling in the land of Israel. Just imagine how this is I would like to call it a kapora, a form of atonement for the chet hamaraglim, for the sin of the spies, a sin that we, the Jewish people, pay for till the end of time, till the final redemption. And it's our job, each one of us who are listening to the Gemara Marking Shiur right now, to bear this in mind, that one has to speak, when speaking about Eretz Yisrael, only positive, unless someone has within his power the ability to correct things that need correction. And there are things that need correction, but if it's not within one's powers, one has no right to speak ill of any aspect of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking here even about the rocks and the streets and the trees, the inanimate. And kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer, when it comes to speaking ill of people, how sinful and how despicable a sin that in fact is. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, one has to view Eretz Yisrael as he views a person. It's Eretz Yisrael is a living entity. It's not just a piece of land. It's a living entity, and as the Pasuk itself says, that the land is capable of spitting out, of vomiting out those that don't belong in the land, those that the Almighty doesn't see fit to dwell in the land. The land will cast them out. That's something that's unique to the land of Israel. It's called Eretz HaChayim, the land of the living. The land itself is alive. And hence, the significance of avoiding any what we call Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael is of utmost importance. And we continue with Rabbi Chiyo Bar Gamda, Megander Ba'afra. Rabbi Chiyo would roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar ki rotsu avodecho es avoneho v'es aforo yichonenu. Your servants desire its stones and grace its dirt.
The Gemara continues with a new topic on the side. We've written Dor Sheben David Bo Yilamdu Kategora B'Tamidei Chachamim. The generation in which the Moshiach is due to arrive, that in that generation there will be a lot of we could call it persecution, a lot of kategoria. Rashi says harbe mastinim lamdim chova, people are deprecating, are insulting, and finding guilty talmidei chachamim. A lot of people like that yamdu aleihem will try to persecute and afflict and chastise and bring to court Torah scholars. So now the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Dor, the generation Sheben David Ba, the generation in which the Moshiach comes, Kategoria B'Talmidei Chachamim. There will be this oppression of Torah sages. Ki Amriso Kamei de Shmuel Omar, when I said this to Shmuel, he said, Tziruf achar tziruf. There will be, Rashi says, gzeros al gzeros. There'll be negative rulings. There'll be indictments upon indictments. Shenemar v'oi bo asiriya v'shova v'hoisa levayer. Rashi says, v'oi bo asiriya k'shetisha achalokim yu avudim, when 9/10 are eliminated, are destroyed, when there's only a tenth left, aphi toshuv v'hoisel levayer, even the remnant will be subjugated and oppressed. Toni Rav Yosef bezuzi u bezuzi de bezuzi. That Rashi says shoylulim achar shoylulim, shoylulim are plunderers. There will be plunderers that follow the plunderers, indicating times of great strife and strain for the Talmidei Chachamim. A very trying time. People that try to dedicate themselves to Torah learning, to become rabbis, rabbinic figures, will find themselves in this door, the door that the Gemara describes as Dor Sheben David Ba, will find themselves quite oppressed. That's the Gemara. Omar Abchia Barashi, Omar Rav. The following comment, according to Tosfos, is simply to end off, after having such a depressing note, to end off on something positive. The Marsha feels that this Maimra is related to the Maimra we just had, because it also deals with the Dor Sheben David Ba'bo. So he says in the future, Kol Ilone Srak Sheberet Yisrael Shitanu Peros. All the non-fruit bearing trees of today will in the future bear fruit. Shenemar Ki Eitz Nosa Piryo Teino V'Gefen Nosnu Chelam. Rashi points out that as far as fruit-bearing trees are concerned, the Pasuk mentions the te'eno, the fig tree, the gefen, the vine, that they will give forth their chelom, their strength, their fruit. So what is the eitz a reference to? Hence, the drosha of the Gemara, eitz is a reference to the non-fruit-bearing trees, that they too will bear fruits. It is interesting to note that Tosfos mentions here that velo karm liel, that this wasn't mentioned before. I don't know to what extent when we say before it wasn't mentioned, because we did see a comment like this on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Beis, 14 lines from the end. This very
hopeful, promising Maimer Chazal, that even the barren trees of Eretz Israel will bring forth fruits. There's a on a possibly homiletical level, I mean a hopeful level, one might suggest a pshat here that this is refer, this pasuk or this Maimer Chazal refers to the barren trees. There's a pasuk says ki odom eitz hasadeh, a person is considered like a tree, and there are amongst people there are people that are filled with Torah and mitzvahs, and there are people that are barren. They're not. We saw the Gemara refer to the amaratzim, the ignoramuses. So it could very well be on a hopeful level that even those people that we think or we perceive as being empty, when the time comes, when the future arrives, you'll find that they too are filled with fruits and all that represents. So with the assistance, with the Siyata Dishmaya, with the help of the one above, we are successfully completed Maseches Ksubis with our eyes and tefillos and prayers that will be zeche to continue with the next Masechta, Maseches Nedarim, in the Daf Yomi cycle. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.